Then the route went south, taking a sharp dip east toward the land, where it indicated what looked like a river running out across a beach. Triss sighed.
Well, it all looks very nice, but how do we know where we are in relation to all this? We could be anywhere.
Shog, however, did not share her bafflement.
See that compass drawn in the left corner there? The North Star's marked clear right over the north point of the compass design. Here, what's this? Is it a blot of ink or a tiny island just off the route line where it starts to bend south? Look!
The Squirrel Maid rubbed the dark speck with her paw.
Could be a blot, I suppose, or it may be an island.
Welfo moaned and rolled over. She was nearly falling from the bunk as Triss reached her and turned her back again. Wringing out the scrap of cloth, the Squirrel Maid wetted it again in a shallow dish of seawater and bathed her friend's face with it. Still completely out of her senses, the Hog Maid licked at the salty dampness. Shog pursed his lips grimly.
She's got to have water soon. Fresh water. We all need drinking water, or we'll perish afore too long. You tend to the poor creature, Triss. I'm going up on deck for a look about, see if we and I can fix our position.
It was fully night, with just a sliver of moon, like a silvery nail paring, surrounded by stars and a cloudless sky. Shog sat at the tiller, his head thrown back, exploring the countless points of starlight that dotted the velvet dark skies in dizzying numbers. After a while, the otter's neck began to ache, but he had made his decision. Pointing up at one bright still jewel of the night, he spoke aloud to himself.
That's the North Star. It's got to be.
Setting the tiller on course, he trimmed the single sail and began heading away from the star. Triss tended to Welfo until the Hog Maid lay still. So that she would not roll out of the bunk again, the Squirrel Maid lay down beside her. It was not long before Triss closed her weary eyes and fell into a slumber. In her dreams, she saw the sea, ever restless, wave lapping upon wave, murmuring with that soothing noise that only the vast deeps can produce. Gradually, she realised that a voice was calling her, softly at first.
Triss, Trisca, my daughter, I see you.
A squirrel and a mouse were floating towards her, their paws not touching the water, which flattened itself to make a path for them. Although she could not remember his face, Triss knew that the squirrel was her father. She called to him.
Father! Father!
He smiled at her and pointed to the mouse. Triss felt tears spill down her face as she heard herself saying,
Triscor, I am called Triscor. I never knew.
The image of her father began to fade as he spoke again.
Drufo would have told you when the day came.
He faded altogether, and Triss was left alone with the mouse. She sensed immediately that this was no ordinary mouse. He was clad in shining armour and held a wondrous sword, the like of which she had never seen, not even among the best blades in Princess Curda's armoury.